It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
It's adding up to be the costliest civil disturbance in U.S. history. The arson, looting, and vandalism that followed the death of George Floyd.
The Santa Monica location was completely decimated, ravaged, nothing to be salvaged.
David Weiss's cigar store was among thousands of businesses damaged or destroyed.
If you're looking at the losses collectively, they will be significant.
Till now, insurers designated the LA riots in 92 as America's costliest at $1.4 billion in today's dollars. One city, 5 days. The Floyd riots lasted 3 weeks in 140 cities. 21 states activated the National Guard.
I am confident in saying that we will be seeing collectively more substantial losses than we have seen with these single city incidents.
A police task force in LA is offering $10,000 rewards to help identify alleged arsonists and violent agitators.
Chunks of concrete, pieces of rebar, full bottles of bleach.
10 buildings torched in L.A., 156 patrol cars damaged or destroyed, millions in losses in New York and Minneapolis. The losses mean more than higher insurance rates. Taxpayers will also feel the pinch. Police overtime alone, $38 million at the California Highway Patrol, $6 million each in Portland and Seattle. Cleveland hit hard as well.
In order for us to do what we had to do, we had to spend over $3 million in overtime.
These costs come at a time when city services are already hurting because of the COVID-19 crisis. Insurance losses are something else. Industry says it should have preliminary numbers in about 60 days, but promise the costs will be in the billions.
All right, that was William Lajeunesse last night on Special Report on Fox. Sandy Rios with you this morning. Yes, we do know. We're talking about losing our freedoms as we watch these riots on the street, the burnings, the lawlessness, and we see, you know, our leaders in Washington, except for President Trump and parts of his administration, we're seeing silence. We're seeing the Pentagon, even the generals undermine the president. It is really a unique time in our history. And, of course, we have to ask if we can survive this. I'm not sure, but we're going to talk more about this. I want to say also, William's talking about the cost, and we see these great cities being dismantled. How many of you have been to New York City? I've been there many times, and love it or hate it, it is a beautiful city. It is an impressive city. The structure, it was the first capital of this country. It has many historic buildings. It has such history. If you know anything about American history, you know that the Battle of New York was one of the greatest battles. So right now we are, you know, and it's this really the most important city in the world right now, the center of our trade, Wall Street. It is the center of many of the arts. It's a city of great influence, and yet we know it has been corrupted. It has been being corrupted for a very long time. So now we're watching it, the corruption that's been on the inside show up on the outside as rioters and people disrespecting and hating the system are now very effectively trying to tear it down. And with the communist mayor that they have and his communist wife, they have now managed to take $1 billion out of the New York police budget. They say they're going to build stuff for the kids. They're going to try to help the kids. We've made a lot of changes, says de Blasio, but the New York Police Department is going to refocus on helping young people. So they're eliminating incoming new police academies. They're doing all kinds of things to, you know, stop the police. Meanwhile, we saw, if you've seen some of the images, we saw them climb up on light poles and paint over police cameras. So the police in New York are having their hands tied rapidly in every way. I think murder is up 45%. Just last week, they had 72 shootings, and New York used to be relatively safe compared to, you know, as big cities go, but not anymore. And the protesters, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Antifa movement are having their way in the city of New York. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was really happy that $1 billion was removed, right? She was really happy. Don't you think she'd be tweeting her happiness about this? But no. She said defunding the police means defunding the police. It does not mean budget tricks or funny math. It's not enough, you see. The police still have some funding, and they shouldn't have any funding. This is what happens when you try to bargain with the left. It doesn't work. They never get enough. And so New York is in great danger. I wonder if those, how those wealthy people in the high-rises that gave us the New York Times, are giving us the New York Times and writing propaganda left and right, are feeling about it now as crime encroaches upon their doorstep. And it will. It will not be a safe place to walk, do business. It is an amazing thing. They are deconstructing probably America's most famous and powerful city, and they're doing it with impunity because it seems like hardly anyone has the courage to push back. All right, well, we're approaching July the 4th of 2020, and I think it should be a July the 4th that we will never forget. You know that the left is going to shut down any kind of celebrations, but there are other ways that we can celebrate, and we're going to talk about those when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
"80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Robert Redfield, director of the CDC. His agency's goal is to protect public health and safety through the control and prevention of disease, injury, and disability. Jeremiah 33:6 reminds us of the Lord's blessings of good health. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for wisdom for Robert Redfield as he works to keep the people of our country safe and healthy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
The Democratic Party of Orange County is demanding that John Wayne's name be removed from the regional airport. They said the county is more diverse than it was during John Wayne's day, and they want to remove racist symbols. Yep, they accuse the Duke of being a racist. The Orange County Democrats are what I call culture jihadists, and they've declared a fatwa on cherished American icons and heroes. I consider John Wayne to be both. This man's only crime is that he loved America and hated communism. I warned America that we were under attack in my new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. The Duke's son said his father was no racist, but I'm not sure the truth matters that much. John Wayne once said that men should be tough and fair, courageous, never petty, never looking for a fight, but never backing down from one either. America would do well to embrace that sentiment as we battle the culture jihadist. I'm Todd Starnes.
Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
All right, Lee Greenwood, thank you for that great song. And that's a song that many of us have grown to love through the years. If you love this country, then that song just gives you thrills, almost second only to the Star Spangled Banner. And we're getting ready to celebrate our nation's birthday this weekend. I want to remind you of that because I think we should celebrate, don't you? I don't care what they say. I don't care about the riots. I don't care about the loud noises coming from every direction. I personally love this country. Thank God for this country. My father fought in World War II. My father-in-law fought in, I have two father-in-laws now. One fought in World War II, one fought in Vietnam and in World War II. Listen, it's in our blood because we grew up hearing them. We knew what it meant. We understand our history because those people of my generation actually learned our history. That reminds me of a lady I saw in New York. If I have a chance, I'll play the clip for you later. The protesters were, you know, at the Teddy Roosevelt statue in New York. And they wanted to, you know, they were lobbying to tear it down. And there were all these Antifa young white gentlemen with their masks on. And this New Yorker tore into one of them in an unbelievable way. And she basically said, you want to rewrite our history. You're ignorant of our history. We have a great country. She did a great job. And that's what the kind of thing we need to be doing. One practical note, the president is planning a huge celebration at Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. I don't know if you've heard about this because, you know, we can't know what's actually happening. The president is being muted in every way, whether it's on Twitter, even Fox. We hardly hear his voice now. And that's by design. Don't think he's not still doing great things. In fact, he is. They're going to be having, you know, great music, the Air Force Academy concert band, fireworks, you know, flyovers with planes. It's July the 3rd, Friday night. I'm sure it'll be televised. And so many of you will want to watch at least by television, and then you plan your own celebrations as well. By the way, Governor Kristi Noem has put everyone on notice that masks will be provided, but will remain optional, and there will not be social distancing. She says, we will have a large event on July the 3rd. We told those folks that have concerns, they can stay home. But those who want to come join us will be giving out free face masks. But there will be no social distancing. And also, she said, you know that the Democrats are accusing the president then of having a white, glorifying white supremacy at Mount Rushmore. That was their theme in their tweet. And of course, they were roundly attacked because that is, it's ludicrous. One of the nation's most famous monuments with its most famous, four of its famous presidents. It is a wonder of the world, and it represents really the roots of our history. It is just unbelievable. They're so bold that they would actually call that now white supremacy. Just remember this, because we're getting ready to have an election. This is your future if you don't work and try to stop it. Because, look, the elected officials in D.C. seem incapable of fighting back. And it's left to the American people to fight in their own way. And so I want to introduce Jessica Anderson to you this morning. Jessica is the executive director of Heritage. And they have come up with this great idea about what things that we can do to make July 4th this year special. Jessica, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Sandy. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right, so so you guys have, I think, some great suggestions. That's why I wanted to talk to you this morning, because I think, Jessica, people are saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So let's just jump in. You are sharing several things. Just kind of tell them what you have in mind from Heritage.
Absolutely. So the team over here at Heritage Action, we're the activist arm of the Heritage Foundation, and I couldn't agree more with your opening comments this morning to say that it's fair that while conservatives were focusing on winning the debate about how our policies were better than liberal policies, the left has really been waging a war against America. And we see this play out in our streets right now and every corners of American society. And so, you know, I look around and I think, wow, the 4th of July, this is the time where we truly need to remind ourselves, our neighbors, our community, our family and friends, why it is that we are proud to be an American. We have to go back on offense, and we have to meet the left in every corner of this debate. So that's why we've launched a new grassroots effort. We're calling it Proud American. Very simple. And we're asking that all freedom-loving patriots across the country join us and exclaim why you are proud to be an American, and to do it starting today in the lead up to the 4th of July. And you can do this by writing a message on a poster board and hanging it in your front yard. My kids and I were out front doing sidewalk chalk in front of our house, writing, we're proud to be an American, and drawing big American flags. Share the message on social media. Talk to your friends and family about the principles of our founding. And really, Sandy, what this comes down to is that now more than ever, we really need to stand up for our great nation. The elected officials in Washington, elected officials in our mayor's and governor's office are not doing that right now. And they need to hear from the American people, and they need to hear exactly what it is that makes it so special to be an American as we strive for the highest ideals of liberty, equality, and freedom. And that's why I'm proud to be an American and launch this effort at the grassroots level today.
You know, I was just thinking as you're talking, Jessica, I think of all the people that I've intersected with through my long life here who have come to this country from other countries. They call into this show. They have become neighbors and friends of all over and we all know them, who love this country. They came at great price. They came at great cost. They have made the best citizens that we have, many of them from Cuba, former Soviet Union. I mean, people who, Venezuelans, Central America, whatever. But they understand. Why do you have a problem at our borders? Because people dying to get into America. And so there's a reason for that, and that's what we want to remind everyone, ourselves, our children. You have some great suggestions. Let's give the let me just say that the suggestions that we're going to talk about, because I want to talk about a few more of them in detail. Jessica, can you tell them I'm choking here, please?
Of course. So let me give you some specifics here. So you can share the message locally about why you're a proud American. And some inspiration for what to share would be, what does it mean to be an American to you? Talk about the importance of America's founding principles, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Express some gratitude for those that have served in the armed forces. Express that same gratitude for those on the front lines today, your local officers, your firemen, your first responders. And you can share all of this.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to ponder it for a second, because I just talked to Jessica before you joined me. I talked about how the police are being defunded in New York City and how they're deconstructing New York City. And so police officers everywhere, and firemen, and people, officials, even FBI agents, I have one as a husband, the whole world for them is shifting. They've spent their lives protecting people. This is the time to speak up in terms of our thanks for them. Are suggesting that people do this for one thing, just one thing, on social media, right?
That's right. You can share it on social media using the hashtag Proud American, and you can post your pictures online. You can tell your stories, your memories, things that have made you proud to be an American. You can even record a video message of your own and post it, or you can also take it to the streets. I mean, this is really how we take back our communities, is that we don't let the one side overwhelm our neighborhood. So I would make a poster or a sign to put in your front window or lawn. Get your kids involved. Use sidewalk chalk. Write it on the message on your driveway or sidewalk. Put it on the side of the window of your car. These are all just ideas to get us going. I know that there are others, but the point of this is we, as patriot-loving and as American-loving citizens, we need to remind ourselves and our community why it is that we're proud to be an American, what it is that ties us together, bigger than anything else going on right now. And I believe that if we can just start there, if we can just start with the simple task of opening that conversation about America's institutions, founding documents, our founders, and what that leadership brought with our community, we'll slowly begin to have some of those critical conversations that are needed right now to restore liberty at the most local level and restore that law and order. So this is one part that each of us can do to play our part. As you said earlier, you know, those that are in Washington right now, our elected officials, they're missing the mark when it comes to exactly what is needed today in our street, which is they need to quell the violence, they need to restore law and order, and they need to support the police. This is our part as American citizens to explain why we're proud Americans and to do it at the community level.
Yes, and let me just say that Heritage Foundation has set up a website where you can review the things we're talking about. These are actually are great suggestions, very practical. You don't have to do all of them. Just pick one thing, pick two things. But if you go to heritage.org/proudamerican, heritage.org/proudamerican, you can find out some of these things. One of my favorites, Jessica, is that you suggest, I've done this and I love it actually. Make Independence Day more than just a gathering for hot dogs and fireworks in your home with your neighbors or with your family. Actually teach your children. Start teaching them the founding principles. They're not going to learn it in school for one thing. With your neighbors, read the Declaration of Independence, read the Bill of Rights. I've done this with my family, Jessica. Sometimes I've been less than popular. You know, I'm always hammering my grandchildren who live in Scotland about what it means to be an American. I try so hard. But now I feel the urgency more than ever. So anything else? And you always, that hashtag, Proud American, hashtag Proud American, so that it can go viral on the various outlets that you use. Anything I've missed?
That's it, Sandy. We just would love to see as many as possible engaging in this and just reminding everyone why we're proud to be an American, and especially in the lead up to the 4th of July, where it just seems we need it more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Jessica, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us this morning. Again, let me repeat, it's heritage.org/proudamerican, heritage.org/proudamerican, and be thinking now about what you can do to express your pride, and pride with meaning, not just pride with the symbols and just not just flag waving, but the meaning of it. If you need to refresh yourself on the Declaration of Independence or on the Constitution, is even not that long to read. I think you would find it invigorating and exciting. There's some great history books that are actually trustworthy. Don't get them in D.C. If you want a bad history, Jessica, I don't know if you've done this, but when you go to the various gift shops in D.C. and you look for history books, I've never seen such leftist propaganda. So don't. It's really discouraging. I'm angering. I almost want to take my scissors in and cut them up in little bits and pieces, even at the even at Ford Theater, where Lincoln was shot. So there are good histories, though, but you have to be very careful about it. But it's time to revisit that so that you are reminded and your children are reminded. Jessica Anderson of Heritage. Thank you, Jessica. I really appreciate you joining me.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, and happy 4th.
Happy 4th.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, on the July 4th celebration, I was going to mention to you, Kristi Noem is just amazing to me. She's the governor out there. She was a congresswoman for a few years in D.C., and I actually have known Kristi. I interviewed her a few times, and she's turned out to be I never expected this much grit out of her, honestly. I don't know why. She just was mild-mannered, but she's been terrific on this whole thing. In fact, when it came to the anticipation of some people are saying, well, when is the left, when is the woke crowd going to want to destroy Mount Rushmore? And she just basically tweeted, not on my watch. And so that's where the president is taking the nation's celebration, Friday night, July the 3rd. It's going to be in South Dakota at the Mount Rushmore. It should be quite an event. So that's something else you can add to your things to do when you're doing all these things we just suggested, or some of these things that we just suggested. Anyway, pleasure to even revisit this. Encouraging, huh? We need encouragement right now. So let's take it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
How to acquire a vessel in holiness and honor, referring to a spouse, referring to a wife, referring to a husband. You know, what the world thinks is, well, what you need to do is you need to get out there, have a lot of sex until you find the one with whom you seem to be sexually compatible, and then that's the one to marry. God says that is not the way you go about it. We're supposed to be looking for a life partner.
Focal Point with Brian Fisher, weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Esther, a young girl, became queen of the Persian Empire when Israel was subject to Persian rule. A wicked man named Haman tried to get the king to exterminate all Jews. Esther, a Jew herself, was queen when this genocidal conspiracy was brought to bear. But her uncle Mordecai put her royal position in perspective. Perhaps God made you queen just for this very moment, to intervene on behalf of the Jewish people. Like Esther, perhaps God gave you the platform, position, and influence you have for this very moment, to stand against darkness. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher with the Life and Liberty Minute. The real issue in November is not Trump versus Biden or Republican versus Democrat. The issue is simple. Do you like America as it was founded? If you do, you will vote for Donald Trump. If you hate America as founded, as regressives do, and you want us to become Europe, you will vote for the other guy. The American Revolution was energized by Christian faith, a profound belief in biblical values, and a hunger for freedom. The French Revolution was built on a rejection of every one of the values of the founders. Churches were destroyed and desecrated, clergy were sent to the guillotine, there was blood in the streets, and politicians were about control, not freedom. The re-election of our incumbent president looks like the only thing that will protect us from the complete collapse of the American experiment.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, the Federal Communications Commission formally designated two giant Chinese telecommunications firms as national security threats. As a result, American carriers will be unable to use our government's funds to buy equipment for their networks from Huawei or ZTE. Huawei happens also to have been recently identified by the Pentagon as one of 20, quote, communist Chinese military companies, unquote, doing business in the United States. Yet, as things stand now, both Huawei and ZTE are still allowed to raise money in U.S. capital markets, as are at least a dozen other People's Liberation Army corporations busily underwriting their malevolent activities, including the CCP's vast arms buildup, with our money. As Senator Tom Cotton put it recently, that needs to stop now. President Trump should make doing so a priority with respect to ZTE, Huawei, and other Chinese corporations that threaten our national security. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
How did you think it was just so important to come out here today?
Well, what they're doing is trying to erase history, to keep it simple. Teddy Roosevelt is one of our best presidents ever. That statue is a symbol of the American Indian and of race in general. And what do you say about this? It takes my breath away that something as beautiful and as magnificent as that, and Charlene McCrae, the mayor's wife, deems it unfit. They're trying to find this as a racial issue. This is not about race anymore. It never really was. This is about taking apart the fabric of America. This is all about the fabric of America. They want us to read their narrative. Freedom of speech is so long as we say what they want us to say. freedom of any kind of freedom at all is all about their narrative, the radical left narrative. We can't allow that anymore. This is America. We stand with all races, all colors, all creeds. People came to this country to seek those freedoms, and now from the inside out, they want to take them away. It's not going to work. We won't allow it. Thank you very much.
All right, that was a lady from New York on the streets where the protesters were wanting to tear down the Teddy Roosevelt statue. And I just thought she was great. I mean, she really got into it with them. And I think that's an example of, I don't mean exactly how she got into it with them. I obviously, if you're a Christian, and she had a cross around her neck, interestingly enough, she was definitely a New Yorker. But she was educated and understood what she was talking about. And I just think that we need to be more aggressive in the right way. Just take it on. Just take it on. And you will never be able to say, I didn't do anything. I thought today when I was, there's a lot of things I want to play for you and talk to you about. I was thinking China now is cracking down on the protesters because they passed this law July the 1st. Yeah, it's going into effect. And they've already arrested their first protester. The protesters there, of course, they're protesting for their freedom. They want to be free. Our protesters want to take away freedoms from most Americans. They'd like some for themselves. They want to be able to be free to destroy. But they have a special plan for the rest of us. Tucker Carlson kind of laid it out very well last night when he talked about we are really in danger because anyone who loves this country and supports this president will be in real danger after the election. You can just take it to the bank. They don't want freedom for you. But we are in a fight for our freedom. And so let's do it. I was reminded of people, especially in China, that I had the privilege of having many, many very intimate, meaningful moments with about the persecution they were experiencing when I was with them then. Many of them arrested, put in prison, beaten, fined. And they, remarkable thing was that they would say to us, please do not go back to America and ask for there to be any, don't have America interfere because Christ is being preached and the gospel is being spread and they were just filled with joy. Now, some of them and more than one described to us and to me that initially when the persecution started, they weren't joyful. But when they decided to just speak the truth without fear, when they were able to just break the barrier of their fear, that's when they really felt free. And I saw them. I saw the joy on their faces. So I'm saying to you, you know what? Here, we're going on a wild ride here. Just let's go with Jesus. Let's just be faithful and defend truth and take this wild ride together. And when we can cast off our fear, and that I'm speaking to myself as much. Last night I watched the news. I was so discouraged. I can't tell you, just so discouraged. It eats on me because I cannot stand, who of us can stand injustice? And I see the manipulation of our minds, and I see that we're hearing all one side of this and one side of that, and it's not truth. It is no longer truth. And so we are feeling isolated and alone and frustrated, and certainly our leaders, Tucker Carlson really took on the Republican leadership last night. I think he interviewed Mike Braun out of Indiana a couple of nights ago. Mike is the senator from Indiana, and I've really liked Mike. It's not that he's not a good man. It's just that Tucker's pointing out that he's come out in public support of Black Lives Matter. And this is what we see with the Senate leadership. We see them just, they have no spine. They have no, either they are still innocent. I'll say that because it's the nicest thing I can think about. They don't seem to understand what's happening to this country. And so the American people are going to have to help them understand that it's going to be a wipeout of the country. It's going to go quickly, and we can see that, can't we? But it is not too late if we can, like, grab them by the, you know, the shoulders and shake them a little bit and remind them what this country is all about and what's at stake. But so I want to give you an example of something else at stake, because we have spoken a number of times about George Soros' stealth little operation to, and Eric Holder also, to get into various communities these radical, radical prosecutors elected, whether they're state prosecutors, whether they're district attorneys. And he's been very successful in many areas. And one of them is one of the areas of St. Louis. And there's a woman named Kim Gardner, who is a left of the leftists of the leftist of the leftist. In fact, I'll give you just a taste of what she has to say about what's happening on the street. This is clip 6.
I've noticed that the attorney general is tweeting quite a bit about looters and rioters, and not about the fact that we have a history of police violence in the city and nation. And that has caused people to take to the streets yet again to demand for accountability and change in our criminal justice system.
Okay, so there she is. That's Kim Gardner, and she is a local, I don't know what her title is, but she is not the head prosecutor in St. Louis, but she's one of them. So she, with the help of George Soros and other leftists, was elected, and you can see where her sympathies are in terms of what's happening in St. Louis with the riots and protests. And then enter this family, Mark McCloskey and his wife, who live in a gated community in a very big, beautiful house. I guess he and his wife bought this. They bought this in the inner city to restore it. They work in, they're civil rights attorneys. They defend people much like the protesters all the time. That's been their life's work. But imagine their surprise when they were sitting out for dinner a couple of nights ago, getting ready to have dinner on their veranda outside, when in through their iron gate, trespassing, comes 300 protesters. Let's see. The ones that have been rioting on the street, burning things down. A policeman was killed. That kind of same group, you know. So they're like charging through the gate, which is right adjacent to their house. And they start yelling threats. If that wasn't enough of a thing to scare them, there were threats yelled at this couple. So Mark McCloskey and his wife called 911, and then he said to himself, they will not get here in time. We are in danger. We don't know what they're going to do, and we've seen what they've been doing, and now they're threatening us. So he grabbed his rifle, and she grabbed her handgun, and they stood out in front of their house with their guns, telling the crowd, don't come any further. Do not come here. Now, could I also, I just played for you yesterday, this Black Lives group marching in Beverly Hills, chanting in a neighborhood, eat the rich, eat the rich, eat the rich. Remember that? And I would say Mark McCloskey and his wife might have had a reason to be fearful. You think? Well, so now they're in trouble because Kim Gardner thinks, you know, it was a horrible thing that they did. Let's actually listen as she describes it, clip 7.
I am disturbed by the events that occurred over this weekend where there were peaceful protesters who were met with guns and a violent assault. We must protect the rights to peacefully protest, and any attempts to chill it through intimidation or use of force will not be tolerated. Since learning of these events over this weekend, I've worked with the public and the police to investigate these tragic events. I will use every extent of Missouri law to hold individuals accountable.
All right, so, but the trouble is, of course, Missouri law, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, people in Missouri, will ultimately protect Mark until those laws have been changed by the leftists who are getting elected in various bodies around the country. But right now, the bottom line is, I think that they will be challenged, but they cannot lose under Missouri law. However, they will be hassled to death. And this prosecutor will probably bring charges. They're going to have to pay for, you know, representation. There are other ways to ruin people besides, you know, really bad decisions in court. So that's kind of just a glimpse as to what we face if we do not, just telling you, if we do not fight now. I've just talked about how you can positively do something over the 4th of July weekend. If we can't even do that, then I don't see, if you just passively think it's all going to fall in place naturally without any effort on your part, I don't think it's going to happen that way. All right, I want to change the subject just for a second. Oh, no, I want to tell you one more story. This is really kind of funny. Do you remember I can't think which player it was. I believe it was an NBA player out on the West Coast who tweeted something like, when the rioters were at their fullest, in their fullest glory, a couple of weeks ago, burn it down. He was referring to some building, burn it down. That's what he tweeted. And then those rioters, for some reason, made it into his gated community, his, you know, very private area where he lives. And he tweeted, go back to your homes, get out of our neighborhood. So something like that happened to the Seattle mayor, who Jenny Durkin, who thinks, you know, that the protests in the CHOP zone are, and now there's been two killings, as far as I can, three shootings and two killings, I believe it's what it is, something like that. A 16-year-old teen was just shot and killed a few days ago. So, but Jenny Durkin has described it as kind of a street festival. It might go on to August because, you know, they're just out there having fun, those kids, protesting. But the problem is they decided to come to her house. So the protesters made their way to her house, and then she was a little upset and issued this statement. Mayor Durkin and her family are in the state program to keep their address confidential because of the death threats, mostly related to her work as Seattle's U.S. attorney under President Obama. You know, they injected that as sort of a protection for her. Like, I'm one of you. This is a big signal, a virtue signal. I worked for Obama. Don't come after me. But then it says, tonight she did so without regard for the council member Sawant continues to choose political stunts. Tonight she did so without regard for the safety of the mayor and her family. So I don't think anybody's crying too many crocodile tears over Seattle Mayor Jenny Turkin's concern about protesters coming to her house to protest after the way she has handled the citizens of Seattle, the business owners, with complete disregard. It's shameful. And this is going to be the rude awakening for a lot of people who are trying to meet somewhere in the middle. I would say Senator Braun, you know, oh, yes, we support Black Lives Matter. This, you know, I forget exactly what he has said. I didn't hear the whole interview, so I don't want to put words in his mouth. But the bottom line is, in his effort to be magnanimous and to express sympathy for Black people in Indiana, his constituents, he thinks he has to embrace Black Lives Matter, the international Marxist organization that wants to destroy the natural family and do everything they can to advance the rights of transgender Black women and destroy capitalism and defund the police and empty the prisons. That's who Mike Braun is supporting. Does he know that? Does Mitch McConnell know that? Do they know that? Why don't they say something? They say nothing. Why don't they say something? Instead, they, I support Black Lives Matter. It's ignorant. It is dangerous. And, you know, you might actually, we might want to go on a mission of sending information about Black Lives Matter. Maybe their manifesto is a good place to start, to our senators. Have you read this, sir? You think you might want to read this? Can you not distinguish between the fact that Black Americans are Americans and we've been living with them and loving them and working with them for decades? We can do that and respect and love them and want them to be treated well without embracing Black Lives Matter. Capital B, capital L, capital M. We don't embrace that. We can't embrace that. Are you out of your mind? You can't embrace that. So now the Defund the Police movement is going to be holding a crash course. They're advertising. Defund 4-day crash course, Defund the Police. On June 19th, and then it goes through this whole thing, we now celebrate Juneteenth in honor of every victory we've ever won over white supremacy and as a reminder of how much more work there is left to do. So it's going to be a 4-day crash course to defund the police. You will understand what exactly the demand Defund the Police means. Envision what a world without police could look like. Just look at New York. Just look at St. Louis and these neighborhoods. That's not too hard to envision. You know, the thing of it is, it's going to come back to bite the very people that are working for this, that are thinking they're doing something good. It's going to affect a lot of Black neighborhoods. People are going to be killed. People are going to be raped, robbed. It will be mob rule. That's what it's going to be. And so, all right, so let's talk about what happened in the House of Representatives yesterday when Robert Redfield, I think it's Robert Redfield, who's the director of the CDC, and Dr. Fauci, my favorite doctor who wears a diaper for a mask, did a short, I'll just give you a little idea of what they had to say, just a little clip of it, clip 5.
It is critical that we all take the personal responsibility to slow the transmission of COVID-19 and embrace the universal use of face coverings. Specifically, I'm addressing the younger members of our society, the millennials and the Generation Zs.
We are now having 40+ thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around. The numbers speak for themselves. I'm very concerned and I'm not satisfied with what's going on because we're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, we're going in the wrong direction. All right. There are more cases, yes. And I probably should say every time I open my mouth about this, that's because we're doing more testing. More people are testing positive. When kids are going to the doctor, the doctors are feverishly testing, you know, kids that are perfectly, you know, broke a toe for COVID. And then if they test positive, they're going into all their families. And so there's a crusade, a campaign, as it were, to find out who all the COVID positive people are. We're not doing this we didn't do this for HIV AIDS. We don't do it for the flu. We don't do it for viral pneumonia. HIV AIDS is 100% deadly. And there's no cure and there's no vaccine. But we don't do it for that. But we do it for COVID. And we have this notion, so because Fauci keeps telling us if we get this vaccine, this magic vaccine, which he, by the way, working with Bill Gates, as he has for years, will be gaining lots of money. And so will Bill Gates if a vaccine, if they can finally find one and patent it. So he's kind of excited about that. And we are then led to believe that we are going to be like living this way until this magic vaccine that's going to make Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates very wealthy is finally developed. And we don't treat any other diseases that way. There's nothing wrong with looking for a vaccine. But we've never said, you know, we can't function as a nation. We can't do business. We can't go out in public. We can't do this and that if we don't have a vaccine for something. Life goes on. So we heard Robert Redfield first. He's the head of the CDC. The CDC, I'm telling you, for decades now, has had a terrible reputation. If you don't believe me, I don't know if Adam found this clip, but Deborah Birx said, and maybe they've buried this clip. Okay, Deborah Birx, we had the clip, and if we find it, I'll play it for you, but I'll tell you what she said. I don't trust half. I think she said at least half of what comes out of the CDC. She said that in one of the briefings. I do not. Deborah Birx does not trust half of what comes out of the CDC. So Robert Redfield sits there in the, you know, he's described by Casey Stegall on Fox as the nation's leading authorities, you know, on COVID. So Robert Redfield is one of those nation's leading experts. Rand Paul was on yesterday with Neil Cavuto. He actually challenged Dr. Fauci in the hearing. Of course, you never heard that, did you? That wasn't anywhere on the news, except thank God for Neil Cavuto interviewing Senator Rand Paul yesterday. That means they were in the Senate testifying. I think I've corrected myself on that. So let's listen to what Rand had to say about the CDC. This is clip 12.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember when the CDC said we were idiots for wearing masks, and now they say we're criminals. I think the answer is somewhere in between. I think if you're immunocompromised, you should avoid crowds. I think if you are elderly, you should avoid crowds. And I think if you're 20 years old, I think the same prescription isn't there. So the people who want to tell every 20-year-old that you're going to have to stay inside and stay away from people forever or until there's a vaccine and no vaccine comes, this is the new normal. I'm really just not for that. But I am for individual responsibility. Everybody, every day, do you want to get in a car? Do you want to ride a motorcycle? Do you want to ride a bike in D.C.? Do you want to walk in D.C.? Do you want to jaywalk in D.C.? All of the decisions we make in our life involve risks. And really, for young people, the risks of death from accidents and other things are as high or higher sometimes than some of the risks from infectious disease. So I'm for individual choice, and there are people who should wear masks. And then there are other times in which it's sort of kabuki theater and may or may not be doing anything to change the rate of what's going on.
God bless Senator Rand Paul, a voice that you're not hearing. You know, all the opposition to this madness, of course, it should tell you something. Shouldn't it mean something that any doctor that speaks up in opposition to Redfield and Fauci and, the very loud voice of Fox now over and over and over again, I'm confident they are the ones that undermine that Tulsa rally. I heard it. I told you the whole day, every other sentence in every report was how the cases are going up, especially in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a lot of cases, very dangerous, a lot of cases. Of course, the death rate's going down. You do know that. The actual death rate from COVID is going down. the numbers of people who are carrying the virus are going up because there's more testing, and probably because this is what viruses do. They spread. They always spread. And they have to run their course, and that's what it's doing. Rand Paul goes on to talk about public schools and how they just must open. It is the fuel of the economy. We know our economy is in deep trouble. And we know that people can't work if they have children at home. It's hard for the children. The children need to be in school. Do I need to explain? And yet I guess I must, because these ridiculous men in masks who have such power over us right now are tightening. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. You know, I see people all over the place just scared to death. Scared to death because they're hearing this mantra of how horrible and how, you know, they're on death's door. It's kind of the indication, but it's really just not true. There are seniors are still the most vulnerable, people with, you know, certain conditions, like if you're in cancer treatment, if you have lung complications, if you have diabetes, there are reasons. You know this by now, right? So there's more danger for them, but not for young, healthy kids and not for young, healthy adults. And even older adults, if you're up like this, what, 65, it starts to get a little greater. But you know what? I'll take my chances. Do you want to like pair off a year of your life sitting home, scared to death you're going to get sick? This is not the bubonic plague. It's a chance worth taking. All right, so Rand Paul then goes on to talk about all these restrictions on gathering public, and I want you to hear what he has to say about that. This is clip 13.
They really don't have any scientific evidence on their side to say, oh, if you seat every other seat on the airplane, you know, you have reduced infection. There's just no science to that. That's what we're doing now. And even the airlines are pushing back and saying, well, what is your science? Same with restaurants. I mean, what if eight people are in the same family and they hang out with their neighbors? Can we not let them make the decision? You know, neighbors are getting together all over America. We're not telling Big Brother, but neighbors get together and they have picnics and they associate with people and extended families. That is happening. So when you go to a restaurant, you're not allowed to sit with those people. You know, there are some absurdities to this thing, but I'm not saying you shouldn't take precautions. If you are in a nursing home or have cancer or immunocompromised or someone in your family is, take extra precautions by all means. But I don't like the one size fits all. I'm against mandatory masks. I'm against most of the government mandates on your personal behavior. I think we should be largely left free. It doesn't mean that we should ignore advice, but we should remember that we're a free country. That's what we were founded on, is freedom of choice.
Yes, so there you go. And I think that's a good word from Senator Paul. Also, you know, okay, I think I've beaten this enough for today. We just one thing on these masks. There have been no peer-reviewed studies to show that masks are effective. And so, you know, that's why I play this clip for you often of Dr. Fauci talking about just in March, I think March or April, about how masks are not. He actually laughed about it. It just makes people feel better about themselves. It's not really effective. Because when they measure, when virologists have measured the size of the whatever the particles that you might spew from COVID, the weave of the materials in your mask is just simply I've heard the comparison. It's like a mosquito getting through a chain link fence, and so that's the truth about wearing masks. And I'm glad Senator Rand Paul's speaking about it. And I just wanted you to hear what he had to say. All right, so we've talked about a lot of important things today. I hope that you're not discouraged, because those of us that are believers in Jesus, our hope is not in this world, and yet we fight. The prophets fought; they stood their ground. The people of Israel fought in the Old Testament, often God heard their prayer. I believe he still will. Oh, I wish I had time to talk to you about Moses and his courage. After he realized the real power of God, he went back to Pharaoh and demanded that Pharaoh let the people go. Even though he had doubted it at first, God did grant that. It all happened as God said. So let's continue to pray. And Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.